Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. Today is December 21st, Wednesday afternoon, so probably listening to this at least Thursday morning. A lot of stuff going on. World Cup Finals, one of the best. A lot of people, I feel like, watch soccer maybe once every 4 years, so that was a good game for them to watch.
Yes, if every game was like that, I think the more people would be, at least Americans anyway, would watch soccer.
So that was awesome. That's mostly what we're going to talk about. But we are going to talk about the NFL. We haven't done that in a while. So we're going to look at the AFC and NFC standings, likely playoff matchups, and see kind of where we're at there. Also, I got another top five that I don't think Matt will have too much opinion over.
Well, I've had opinions on shows that I've never seen. I've had opinions on places I've never been. So I'm sure.
This one, I just know there's no way for you to have an opinion on.
All right.
But we'll see what happens. If you do have opinions, great. One of them you will. The other four, you just won't be able to. But we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Let's talk about the World Cup final. Argentina. I was going to say France beat Argentina because that's probably a subconscious. Argentina beat France. Got up 2-0. Controlled most of the game, I would say, pretty well. I think everyone agrees with that. In the 78th minute, they gave away a bad foul in the box, so Mbappe got a penalty. Less than 2 minutes later, he scored the goal of the tournament from the sense of, if you factor in the skill plus the scenario, I think Richarlison's goal for Brazil in the group stage was, in a vacuum, a prettier goal. But Mbappe's goal with the skill factored in with, tying it in the 80-something minute of the World Cup final. Goal of the tournament for sure.
It was a great team goal,
yeah.
Too. A lot of really, really great passes there. So it was my favorite goal, even though Richarlison's was definitely. I said when that happened, we were watching, I was like, that is the best goal that's going to happen this tournament. And I still think that's probably true. But like you said, for the team aspect and being in the final, that Mbappe won was really special.
Yeah, and Argentina, they did the same thing against the Dutch, gave up 2-0 in the round of six, or I guess that was the quarterfinals, and then went into overtime, ended up winning in penalties just like they did. So they had a tendency to give up goals late, and they did. And then in extra time, Messi scored. That was a good team goal, Argentina's third goal.
Yeah.
As well. And then they get a handball in the box, which is brutal, but his hand was parallel or perpendicular to his body. You have to call it.
I mean, his elbow was out. I thought his hand was kind of tucked.
Well, it hit his elbow, which was perpendicular
to
his body.
Yeah, no. I just mean it wasn't like the Luis Suarez block in Ghana in 2006.
Well, and Suarez was literally in the goal. This guy was on the 18.
Right.
Much more defendable situation. Speaking of that, I think it was Argentina's second goal, maybe the overtime goal, correct me if I'm wrong, but where the French defender was about 4 yards deep inside the goal box, the goalie box.
It was the overtime goal. It was that third goal.
So, French defender or keeper Loris came out of the box, had to, dive for a ball. Typically, a defender will step into the box and try to get a deflection or something if the keeper can't recover. But the French defender was 4 feet deep over the line, so he deflected the ball, but it already crossed the line, clearly. What? There's no point. He just took himself out. At least foul him or something.
Yeah, and I know it was a quick, he's running towards the ball, and then it's a quick turnaround. But you got to figure out a way to get in front of the ball where it matters.
Yeah, field awareness is so important. And that could have, because if he just literally stands where he's at, but 4 feet forward or 3 feet forward or whatever, maybe Argentina still scores off another deflection, but it's not a goal like it was. So poor defending. Honestly, there was a lot of poor defending on both parts.
Yeah.
That being said, they had to capitalize to actually, get those goals. And the penalty shootout, Argentina goalie, just in the – what's his name? It's
Martinez.
Martinez. I didn't want to guess. Just in the Netherlands shootout. I don't know how much he got in the French heads, but he was certainly doing his best to get in their heads. And he saved one, and one just missed wide. Argentina made all of their penalties, and they win the World Cup for the first time since Maradona.
Yeah, it was. That they kept telling you that he's known for being a penalty goalkeeper, which I don't think that's the specialty you want to have as a goalkeeper. But in this situation, it works out well. And so, yeah, good for them. I don't think I think we both would have preferred France to win. I don't think I'm quite as against the Argentine national team as you, although I certainly, you know, I'm not a fan.
My problem is, like, A, I think Messi is probably the best player. I don't want to use recency bias against Ronaldo or Pele or Maradona, but definitely, I mean, even before this, obviously a top five at absolute worst.
Yeah.
So there's no disputing that. Very good argument for the best player in the world. But this is by far his best World Cup tournament. He had never scored in the knockout round before. In 2014, he won the Golden Ball for best player of the World Cup. And I'm honestly just not sure why. Because, again, I feel like you should be doing something. I know Argentina got to the final that year, lost to Germany in stoppage time that year. So they tied and then went to overtime and Germany won. But he hadn't done much. And, like, it's crazy because it was like Barcelona. He was so good. They won Champions League, La Liga titles. He's fantastic. But just couldn't do it at Argentina. And this is probably the best team he's had at Argentina. But he hadn't done anything. I feel like even with that, he had underperformed. And this year, that wasn't the case. So I guess silence everybody who was saying that, including myself. But everyone was saying, oh, he deserves one. And he didn't deserve one up to this point.
Yeah, well, to your point, this is by far the best he's played in a World Cup. So that's probably why they were able to win. He had no goals in knockout rounds up until this year. He had lots and lots of assists. But, you know, the Golden Ball is not really an award that they give out for assists, you know, so.
No, it's one thing if he's like a center back or like a defensive midfielder and just, you know, cleaned up everything. But he's in the attack, obviously. But, like, I feel like if he wasn't Messi, he wouldn't have gotten that award in 2014.
Yeah.
Also, I think he only has two international trophies. That, like, one playoff game against Italy or whatever.
Finalissima.
Yeah, that's stupid. He has one Copa America and one World Cup, which is really impressive. But he doesn't have three. Everyone keeps saying he has three.
No.
International. So that just bugs me because he's such a good player. So I don't see why we have to, like, make up stuff about it. So that's what annoys me.
Yeah, that's fair. It is, you know, I think it's going to be very unlikely that we ever go through a period where we're going to have two players like Messi and Ronaldo ever again, though. Just because, like, having two best players of the world at the same time is, like, with basketball, it went very, like, you kind of had Jordan and Kobe at the same time, but it was kind of like at the beginning, Kobe was pretty clearly better, and then towards the end, it's like LeBron is clearly better than Kobe at this point. So it has been fun to, you know, have that argument. I don't know really in any sport. Like, golf has not been like that. I suppose tennis with Nadal and Federer is really the only
that's the only comparable situation. Yeah, and then Djokovic got in on the tail end of that, but Ronaldo and Messi are so far above everybody for like 15 years.
Yeah,
like clearly ahead of everybody, just like I guess Nadal and Federer. Yeah, that's really the only comparable thing. And it's everyone's like, in tennis, that's never going to happen again. And I'm sure it won't in soccer. I'm sure, like, Mbappe is probably the next, like, great player. I would still take, like, Ronaldo at 23 or Messi at 23, as good as Mbappe is, though.
Right. Yeah, and, like, all the Spanish kids are really, really good. Gavi and Pedri and Ansu Fati.
Morata's really good.
Yeah. But Morata, you know, certainly a lot older than Mbappe. And then those kids are all younger than Mbappe. Whereas Ronaldo and Messi, those guys are only 2 years apart. That's a lot, you know, better comparison you're able to make.
Yeah, for sure. Spain's going to be good in the World Cup in 26.
Yes. Yeah. They're as much as I want to make a case for the U.S. to win, I think Spain is probably going to be the best team in the world at that point.
I'm excited to see if Germany, like after 2006, when they kind of flamed out of the World Cup they were hosting, they did like a whole reboot basically of their football. I wonder if they're going to do that again, because there's two group stages in a row they've been knocked out of.
Yeah.
And they do have a little bit of talent, so I'm interested to see what they do in the upcoming, you know, cycle.
When speaking of, you know, legacies in the World Cup, Thomas Müller was like 25 or so. He had won the World Cup, and he had 8 or 9 World Cup goals. And so it was like, oh, he's going to smash Miroslav Klose's record for most World Cup goals. And then 2 World Cups, no goals, 2 group stage exits. And now he's in his 30s, and so he's definitely not going to get that record anymore. So
no, there was one point where I thought he was like the clear number three player in the world. Yeah. About like 2014, that World Cup that Germany won. He was unbelievable. Hazard had a period where he was the number three. Mm-hmm. Probably 2018 Modric, a lot of people would have said that.
Yeah.
So behind him, there's been a lot of competition. Klose was awesome for Germany. Like, we caught him on the tail end of his career, but yeah, he's just like automatic. Uh-huh. Love watching him. So that's World Cup. Copa America and the Euros are in 2024. So two big tournaments in a couple years, nothing next summer from a soccer perspective.
Women's World Cup is going to be next year.
Excuse me. Will that be in the winter as well because it's in the Southern Hemisphere?
I think that Australia is warm enough that they can do it in the Northern Hemisphere summer, because they did the Summer Olympics in like August in Sydney. And so I assume that that's what. I don't know that, but I would bet a lot of money that it'll be in the summer.
I guess, yeah, makes sense. We'll go Team USA. We better win that one.
Yeah.
How in-depth do we want to go on the Women's World Cup? Because you can talk about the favorites.
I mean, really, I haven't done any research, so the only thing I can say is the U.S. is the clear favorite, and Chile has the best goalkeeper in the world.
England is... If I had to pick right now someone besides the U.S., I'd probably pick England.
Yeah, England is looking really, really good. France has all the best club teams that win in the Champions League, but a lot of those are English players. Chilean goalkeeper, obviously. Yeah. And then Norway's got a very, very good team. Ada Hedeberg has recently started playing for the national team again. So assuming that she's able to go to the World Cup, then Norway's going to be good, although she's not quite as good. I pick Spain after doing more research, because they have the best player in the world in Alexia Putellas. And then that Barcelona team is very, very good as well. So, and that's made up of a lot of players that are going to be on the Spanish national team.
The 2019 World Cup, and if it wasn't 2019, let me know, but I'm 99% sure, when Alex Morgan scored against England and did the tea celebration, that was 10 out of top notch. Highest quality celebration.
Great celebration.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah. Also, I think a lot of people are disappointed at the U.S. Going out in the group stage, although I think that was kind of expected, and I thought that was a good place for them to get to. England still has never beaten the United States in a World Cup, so I think that's something we can hold on to.
Take that. Have we talked about how soccer is an English term, like not an American term?
I don't know that we've talked about it on this podcast. Me and you have talked about it, but...
Do you mean... Oh, yeah. Well, real quick then, because everyone in England's always like, oh, soccer, you Americans are so stupid, blah, 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 blah. So soccer was called association football to differentiate from rugby, which, like, the original form of rugby was called football.
Rugby football, yeah.
And then they called soccer association football to differentiate, which became short for soccer. So it's an English term that they made up, so we just use their terminology.
Yeah.
And that's just another example. Like, I don't even think they study the Revolutionary War in school.
I couldn't tell you.
The morons.
My favorite person that I talked to on my study abroad is we were outside, sitting just kind of on a bench outside, like Beatrice Potter, who wrote the Peter Rabbit books. We went to her house, and so I was sitting on this bench, and there's an old guy next to me, so I start chatting him up. I'm like, oh, I'm from Wales. And I said, oh, where in Wales? I'm from Swansea. He's like, oh, so you guys just hired Bob Bradley. He instantly became furious, not at me, but just like the idea that American would have anything to teach these Welsh people about soccer.
Yeah, Welsh and their great history.
The reaction was, he was just so angry about it, and it was very, very funny.
This doesn't have to do with America, but when I was in Disney World for that, when I went to the Florida football game and went to Disney World, I met a dude who had a hat, like he's had a hat, like one of those crests on his hat. And I was looking at it and he saw me staring at him. So he's like, can I help you, basically? And I was like, oh, I was just looking at your hat. I was trying to figure out what team it is. And he's in the fifth like division. So the same team as Wrexham, that Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney.
Yeah.
And he said like his favorite team is basically they're like gym, like literally like PE teachers, and they like play soccer part time.
Yeah.
And Wrexham has like Hollywood money coming in to buy all these like players who should be playing in like the championship and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny.
That's interesting. Yeah. Cause I have not watched the Welcome to Wrexham social. I didn't even really know what division they're in or anything.
You would like it. It's fantastic.
I'll have to check it out.
Really good show. Should we talk about the NFL a little bit?
Let's talk about the NFL.
Perfect. So let's go through the standings real quick and see kind of who's where. I think the NFC is a lot more clear than the AFC, and both our favorite teams are in the NFC. So should we start there?
Let's do it. Yeah.
So as of right now, let's sort it by conference. So Philadelphia is number one, 2-game lead over Minnesota for the 2 seed. San Francisco is the 3 seed. Right now, I mean, Dallas is the 4th team, but Tampa Bay would be the 4th seed. Dallas would be 5. Right now, the Giants would be 6, and Washington would be 7. But Seattle, Detroit are, I think it'll end up being Dallas, New York, and either Washington or Detroit. Seattle seems like they're kind of falling off a cliff. So it's really shaping up to be, assuming there's no upsets, which I don't think there would be. I don't think Tampa Bay is going to do very well. So I think the semis in the NFC are going to be Dallas, Philadelphia, which would be awesome.
That would be a lot of fun.
Should be in Philly. And then Minnesota, San Francisco. I'm hoping Minnesota can drop a game or two so the Niners can get to the 2 seed, but I think we're going to beat them no matter what. And then the NFC Championship, I think it's going to be San Francisco. You tell me if I'm being biased. Versus either Dallas or Philadelphia. Either game would be fantastic.
Yeah, both good games. You know, historically, obviously, San Francisco, Dallas has a lot of huge connotations. They've played multiple times in that NFC Championship. I, of course, want the Eagles, and that would be fun for us personally, just because of those are the teams that we like. But yeah, Dallas in the playoffs against the Eagles would be great. The other thing is because of the expanded playoff, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe we could get the whole NFC East in the playoffs, which would be interesting.
Yeah, there's a scenario where, so Dallas is 5, Giants are 6, Washington 7 or whatever. So definitely right. Possible.
Yeah. I would like to see that just because the NFC East has been so bad for so long. When, in my opinion, I feel like it's very regularly the best division in the NFL. So it's nice to see the NFC East kind of show up again.
Yeah, well, Washington and New York have both been better. It's crazy. Washington traded for Carson Wentz, and then like 5 games in, he got hurt. Taylor Heineke takes over, and they're just better with Heineke.
Yeah.
Which I think any of us could have told you that.
But, right, yeah. It's crazy because he was doing so well with the Eagles before he got hurt.
Yeah, was that 2017?
Yes, 2017, yeah.
He was fantastic. Unbelievable that year.
So good. And then Nick Foles came in. And it wasn't just that, like, this is a great offense that almost any quarterback is going to do well in. He just was able to use the receivers a lot better than Carson Wentz was. And that was kind of like, oh, maybe it's a problem that he's only throwing to our tight ends, who were great at the time, obviously. But then you could sort of see it's like, oh, maybe this is not going to be sustainable. But, yeah. You know, I didn't think he'd be the worst quarterback who regularly gets playing time in the NFL.
No, I think it'll ultimately come down to Philadelphia and San Francisco. Philadelphia has the best, I mean, you could say the best team, best seed, not only number one seed. My worry with Philly, if Jalen Hurts is hurt this week and they play Dallas, if they don't play Jalen Hurts and they lose to Dallas, then they're only 1 game ahead of Dallas. So, I mean, there's only like 2 games left, so I don't think it's a huge concern. That's the only like possible scenario.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I'm not super concerned about, well, I realize this changes the scenarios a little bit, but we've beaten the Vikings fairly comfortably, so I wouldn't mind playing the Vikings again in the playoffs. The Niners, I'm worried about, but I'd be worried about them in the NFC Championship anyway. And then as far as, I feel like there's very many years where the Eagles beat the Cowboys in Dallas and then lose in Philly. So I feel like that's one of those rivalry games where the home field advantage is not as big of a deal as it might be with regular teams. Yeah. So even, I'm worried if he's hurt and he's going into the playoffs with a bad shoulder, that's obviously a problem. But I don't care too much about the seed.
I think not having that extra game is huge, but you're right. They'd rather not play Jalen Hurts. Even if they lose versus Dallas this week, I think they're still in good shape to stay in the 1 seed. I wouldn't be worried about Minnesota either. Niners have the best, I think, Brock Purdy's the best quarterback in the world, but even without him, top to bottom, they have like the best roster. They have the best skill position. They have the best left tackle. They have the best front seven. The secondary's average, but with everything else, it's good. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The thing that really concerns me is that the Eagles' kind of one weakness, the thing that we haven't been able to do very well, is run defense. And the Niners obviously have a great running team. And so not only are you going to be able to score lots of points through your running backs and stuff, it's going to take a ton of pressure off Brock Purdy. And, you know, maybe he doesn't need pressure taken off him. Maybe he is good. But I feel like that is a matchup that works very well for the Niners.
Yeah, because the year they went to the Super Bowl, they beat Minnesota and they threw the ball 8 times. Because right. Jimmy Garoppolo is a quarterback and he can't throw the ball more than 3 yards down the field. Yeah. So
if they want to follow that template again, the Eagles are probably the best number one seed that they could hope to do it against.
I feel bad because I'm biased, so I'm obviously picking the Niners. I think that'd be a really close game. I would pick the Niners in that game, but it'd be in Philadelphia. Assuming nothing major happens, Philadelphia would have a bye week as well, so I'd put them in a really good spot. I would be shocked if someone besides San Francisco or Philly comes out of the NFC.
Yeah.
And I think the loser of that game, assuming they get there, would be really disappointed in their season.
Yeah, the Eagles definitely want to get to the Super Bowl because they know that, you know, I think that this team, as currently constructed, has probably only got this year and next year. And just, you know, since you're the number one seed right now, I think they definitely would like to get it right now.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but very excited about that. The Dallas-Philly game is huge this week. Let's go to the AFC. So right now, the Bills are the number one seed. Kansas City is in the 2 spot. Same record. Kansas City does, like, Buffalo has a tiebreaker. Cincinnati's a 3 seed. Tennessee, 4. But they're only a game ahead of Jacksonville in their division, who Jacksonville just beat them. In the wild card right now, Baltimore's 5, Chargers 6, Dolphins are 7. I think it'll be those 3. I think New England and the Jets, who are right behind them, won't make the playoffs. If Jacksonville does, they'd be as the 4 seed. So I think those are basically the 7 teams, and maybe the AFC South team could change. Buffalo plays Cincinnati next week. I think it's in Cincinnati. Let's just double check that real quick. But if it's in Cincinnati, yeah, it is in Cincinnati. If the Bengals win that game, and they've been really good the last few weeks, then Buffalo would drop. Kansas City would go to the 1 seed, assuming they don't lose out. So that'd be killer for Buffalo to go to the 3 seed and be on the road for that second round game against probably Cincinnati again. And then if they beat that, they'd have to go to Arrowhead again.
Yeah, no, I think that more than Cincinnati, they definitely don't want to go to Arrowhead. I think they want to avoid that at all costs. And so I think that's going to be a huge, huge game, as probably the biggest game of the whole season for the Bills as far as their Super Bowl chances. Because I'm not going to give them great odds in Arrowhead Stadium. I think they could win at home. I don't necessarily think they would. I still think Patrick Mahomes makes Kansas City the team that I would pick. So yeah, for them, I think it's kind of a must win to beat Cincinnati.
Think how frustrating you'd be as a Bills fan. 2 years in a row, you win in Arrowhead. And then because you choke in the regular seed, I would call it choking, losing to like the Jets and things like that, mm-hmm. to not get the 1 seed, have to go to Arrowhead, possibly Cincinnati and Arrowhead, and lose again. That'd be so frustrating if I were a Bills fan.
Yeah.
Which I think will happen. I think Cincinnati's going to win, and then it'll be at Arrowhead, the playoff game between Cincinnati, and I think Cincinnati would beat Buffalo in the playoffs as well. Kansas City's tough because, like, Patrick Mahomes is so good, but the rest of the team's just not that good.
Right.
But I still would pick them because they have Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be like, I'll pick someone else, and then Patrick Mahomes is on the other team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is hard. Like, this year is, like, and I feel like this started a little bit last year, but really this year, Patrick Mahomes has kind of got to that place, like, okay, we don't talk about you until we get to the playoffs because we already know that you're good. Like, we're talking about the Bills a lot. We're talking about the Bengals. We're not talking about the Chiefs. And with that, it's kind of hard to evaluate them.
People are saying Mahomes shouldn't be the MVP because of Patrick Mahomes' fatigue when he's really only won the award one time. But that's how good he's been. Is people already is. It feels like he's won it 3 years in a row.
Right.
You know, he has. Rodgers has won the last 2 years in a row. Yeah, it seems like there's 5. I would say only 4 teams. If you want to count Buffalo, you can. But I would say it's going to be Kansas City, Cincinnati, and Philadelphia or San Francisco are the four teams we're looking at.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think I would probably give the Bills more of a chance than you do, particularly if they're able to get that one seed. So I guess we'll see in a couple of weeks whether or not we think that. But yeah, no, we've gotten to a place in the season where it's like these are going to be the teams we expect.
I'm excited. So I would pick Kansas City. We'll do a more in-depth playoff thing, but I would pick probably San Francisco versus Kansas City in 2019. I guess that was the 2020 Super Bowl rematch. But yeah.
Move on. Okay. Should be fun.
Ready for the top five?
I am ready for the top five.
Now, I was going through this in my head. I think I might have blanked on one. So we might have to do a top four and a half or something like that.
Okay.
So this is the best surfing beaches in the United States. You haven't been to most of these, so that's why.
Well, I haven't seen the show, so let's give it a go.
Okay, so first one you have been to is Jack's / like the Hook in Santa Cruz. That's mm-hmm. where Dad's from. That's where we learned to surf, grew up surfing. I think that's the best one. Go into more detail if we need to.
Yeah.
Number two is Trestles in San Clemente. Shout out to my buddy Spencer Hanks, high school quarterback. He lives out there, so we'll go surf and golf and stuff out there by his place. But yeah, Trestles Beach, San Clemente. Third, Rincon, like right below Santa Barbara, past like Woodland Hills in California, like on the, it's like north of LA, south of Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
That area. Went there with Braden, our college roommate.
Oh, shout out Braden.
Yeah. So our college roommate got married in LA where he's from. So I couldn't make the wedding, but after like there was the same day as the reception, I drove from Arizona to Los Angeles to hang out with him. And it was me, his family, and his new wife's family, who was basically another roommate with us.
Right.
I did not realize that would be the situation. Felt a little bit awkward, but it was very fun. Nice beach day. Went to a Red Sox Angels game later that day. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Number four is Sano Nerife in San Clemente, like San Diego County, like kind of right on the border there.
Uh-huh.
That's number four.
Okay.
And this, the fifth one, I honestly blanked. I had one written down. I don't want to even put Mission Beach in the top five in San Diego. So I'll go Venice. Venice, California. Yeah. So I had a good time there. It was very choppy the day I was there and very crowded, but still a good time. And also it's like Venice, you know, so kind of classic.
Yeah.
So I'll put Venice in the top five. So the Hook in Santa Cruz / Jack's, Trestles, Rincon, Sano, Venice.
Okay.
I haven't really surfed outside of California.
Yeah. We did in Hawaii that one time.
Oh, yeah. I would still put those five above that.
Yeah, because at least where we went in Hawaii, it wasn't a beach so much.
It was literally the harbor, so there were, like, boats coming in and stuff, and I think the break wasn't very good. The waves weren't very good the day we were at. I'm sure on most days it's better.
Yeah.
I also had one of those like Costco boards, so I just like couldn't balance. You know what I mean? One of those like cheap things.
Yeah.
I think if I would have had a better board, it would have been a little better.
Yeah. But okay. But yeah, I'll say yeah. Santa Cruz definitely number one. You get out of the water, you walk to a breakfast burrito place. It's a good time in Santa Cruz. Northern California is just personally what I like a little bit better.
It's the best.
Two, Rincon. I like the word Rincon. I don't know why. I just do like the word Rincon.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's a good word. And then San Clemente ones, I'm going to put four and five. I do not like San Clemente. I've never been there. I don't like the way that it's... I don't like the words San Clemente. I don't know why.
It's like, it's just normal Spanish words. It's just a name.
Yeah, but just like be Clementine or be nothing. I don't know why I feel that way. I just never liked Clemente.
San Clemente is the best part of Orange County, like, by a million.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, the best part of Southern California is San Clemente.
Yeah.
Are you sure you haven't been? We haven't been?
Not that I remember.
We went to Jack in the Box there after the U2 concert.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So technically
like
you
have. 1 in the morning. Yeah, that was a bad. U2 concert was an amazing experience. But pre-U2 concert, I was like, I can't believe the Chargers are leaving San Diego. That's terrible. They should stay in San Diego. And then after that concert, first off, the stadium was just like straight cement, pretty much. Or that's what it looked like. Anyway, it was just like they erected this thing out of cement. And then the parking lot had only one entrance and exit. So we didn't get out of there until like a good hour and a half after the concert. We almost ran out of gas. So yeah, after that, I was like, okay, I would go to LA too if I was the Chargers, because that was a terrible setup.
Qualcomm is the worst stadium I've ever been in.
Yeah, it was atrocious.
San Diego's awesome. U2's awesome. Remember when you thought it was a Petco Park, so we drove to Petco Park? You're like, never mind.
I do remember that. I thought it was a Petco Park. We still got there plenty early.
Plenty early.
Plenty of time. So.
Got to see Beck, who I wouldn't have seen otherwise. So
yeah, who, and I don't know that, I'm sure I've heard him on the radio. I've never chosen to listen to his music before or since.
Yeah. I like, if you say, is there a musical artist named Beck, I would say yes. If you like played a song, I would be like, I have no idea.
Yeah. Which is kind of Beck was kind of the low streak on a U2 concert's warm-up acts, because the first time we got Kanye, which was like 2006.
So he was a big deal still.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a cool thing for Kanye to be in 2006. And then the other one was The Fray, which, you know, not as big of an artist as Kanye, but I haven't listened to The Fray in a very long time, actually, now that we're talking
about it. I haven't either, but like when we were in high school.
Yeah, when we were in high school, we loved The Fray.
Yeah.
Shout out to The Fray.
It was very cool. Yeah, you two got Kanye West, and this was like when he did his like College Dropout or Late Registration, whatever album. So he's like very popular. Hadn't gone Kanye yet, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, The Fray, like How to Save a Life was booming. They did that Kanye like remix of
Heartless.
Heartless, yeah. They were big. So yeah, U2, that for me is like the most like, oh, U2 is the biggest rock band in the world.
Yeah.
Was who they got to open for them.
Yeah.
Petco Park is nice.
Yeah, I like Petco Park a lot. That's a great location. It also looks kind of more straight on than most baseball stadiums. You know what I mean? Like just kind of the way that they've oriented it is very interesting.
Yeah. It's fun. Good old Petco. That might be another one. Best baseball stadiums. I've only been to 7 though, so I feel like that's a little cheap. But say
that is one of your favorite topics. Is
baseball stadiums? Yeah. I enjoy it. Really want to get to a few more. But yeah, so that's the top 5 surfing. If you're a surfer, hit me up. We can chat because I enjoy surfing. For someone from Utah, I'm pretty good. I used to be the worst one in my family, but you and Jesse, our other brother, stopped going, so now I'm by far the best one.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
That's something.
I enjoy being the best. It's, I think, because you're the smartest one and Jesse's the most athletic, so it's nice that I have something that I'm the best at.
I don't think I am the smartest one. I think I just know different things.
Well, know things that are on tests.
Well, tests are not, and this is coming from a teacher, tests are not a very good measure of intelligence.
Well, I mean, according to, like, universities, they are, so.
Well, that's true.
I get what you're saying, but, like, you had a higher GPA than both of us and a higher ACT score than both of us, so.
Those are true things.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say other than I think they're very indicative of intelligence.
I could name like more high schools in South Florida than you.
That's true.
But that's not on the ACT.
That's true.
Unfortunately. If it was, think if that was like what high school did like Nick Bosa go to?
List as many high schools in Northwestern Texas as you can.
That'd be dope.
For an extra 5 points.
That'd be really cool. But yeah, appreciate everybody listening. Again, 5-star review if you haven't done so. Please do so. It really helps us out. And we'll talk to you guys next week. Have a Merry Christmas. And we're in the middle of Hanukkah. So happy Hanukkah as well.
Yep.